sub 60. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I've set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Please turn to me to John chapter 5, as we read verses 24 to 30. John chapter 5, verse 24 to 30. Truly, truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. It does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has lived life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgments, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Brothers and sisters, then please turn to me to John chapter 11. And throughout the sermon we will read portions of it. And the entire chapter is our text this morning. John chapter 11. And we started by reading the first seven verses. Very well known piece of scripture. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, the illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. So after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. So far the reading from God's words. Brothers and sisters, raised to life. The purpose of the sermon this morning is to explain the full humanity and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ in the story of the raising of Lazarus. Many of us here this morning would have lost somebody we love. Whether it's a grandma or a grandpa, a husband, a wife, a parent, or a friend. We have seen their dead bodies lie there, pale, lifeless, and still. We have gathered with others around to have a funeral service and to bury such a person in the name of the Lord. Psalms of praise and hymns to the Lord. We've encouraged one another through the reading of God's word. But yet, after the incident, we went home to an empty house. This is the setting of the story we've read this morning. Mourning, tears, and loneliness. J.C. Ryle says that this is one of the most remarkable chapters of the Bible for its simplistic grandeur. This is the seventh sign recorded in the book of John for us, and it illustrates the great I Am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. Specifically in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. It anticipates the resurrection of Jesus himself, foretold in Psalm 16, which we have read. And it is the climactic sign of Christ's ministry. I can raise the dead. The chapter is the hinge of the Gospel of John. It is a significant turning point for us in the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it develops over four scenes. In each one of these scenes, Christ is the central point for us. Let's look at the first seven verses we've read, or scene one. Now, the man Lazarus was sick. He was the brother of Mary and Martha, and we know that the Lord loved him. He is only mentioned in chapters 11 and 12 of the book of John. He and his sisters lived in Bethany, a small village about 2 miles from Jerusalem, on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives. Jesus, at this point, when he was on the other side of the Jordan River, and the sisters sent the message to the Lord. Lord, the one you love is sick. Verse 3. They made no commands, no demands. They just requested and notified Christ that Lazarus was sick. But the request was clear. Lord, the one that you love is sick, come help. Jesus was on the other side, and as usual, he was busy with his work. In the past, whenever somebody came to Jesus and said, help me, Lord, I'm sick, Jesus would heal them immediately. But this time, he delayed. This time, he did not act immediately. 2 more days, they had to wait. He did not do this because he was unconcerned or callous or indifferent to their needs. No, John tells us that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, verse 5. Rather, the Lord delayed for a purpose. He knew that Lazarus would die, but he also knew that Lazarus would rise again. He knew that Lazarus' sickness would not lead to death, verse 4, because Jesus had the power to raise him from the dead, even if he died. Christ will do this for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it, verse 4. This reminds us of the man born blind. Jesus explained that this happened so that the work of God may be displayed in his life, John 9:3. The delay of Jesus had a purpose. The pain and suffering from Mary had a purpose. We often find delays hard to accept, don't we? We live in the McDonald's age, instant gratification. We hate being stuck in the traffic. We hate waiting at the airport for our connecting flights. We hate waiting in the long queue at the supermarket. We want instant responses. How many of us will text somebody and sit and watch the screen till the text is returned? And what happens if the person takes 5 or 10 minutes? We even get impatient for that. In the same way, we sometimes pray to God. We expect the Lord to give us an immediate answer. But how often does the Lord keep us waiting? He does this for a very good reason. He keeps us waiting because it's part of his overall plan. Often, he wants to teach us something. But as we know, his delays are not final. He will answer us in his own time and according to his good will. One writer says, God is the best of timekeepers. He created time. He is never late for his appointments. So after delaying for 2 days, Jesus went to Judea and approached the village of Bethany. Now let's read the second scene. That's Jesus and Martha from verse 17 to 27. For this reason the Father loves me. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, shall yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. In this story, Martha acts true to her personality. Her sister Mary was quiet, meditative, passive, and she remained in the house. But Martha was busy. She was a doer, active, spontaneous, and on the go. When she heard Jesus was coming, she ran out to meet the Lord. We need to be careful that we don't make too much about the two sisters. We cannot cast theological models around these two sisters. In personality, one is totally different from the other. Neither is better, neither is worse off. They are just different. What is important is their Christian character. And both, at different times, showed great faith in the Lord. Great trust in the Lord, as we will see. Martha's opening words in verse 21 may appear as a mild tribute towards the Lord Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She did not understand why Jesus had delayed. Nor did she realize that the power was not tied to his physical presence. After all, Jesus could have healed Lazarus from where he was. He could have just spoken a word like he did for the son of the royal official that we read in John 4, verse 50. Yet, she believed that a brother would rise again at the resurrection at the last day, verse 24. She gave a clear statement of this biblical doctrine, and we all believe that, don't we? We will all rise at the end time. But Jesus wanted to make sure that it had personal effect for Martha. He said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Christian faith is not only the belief in doctrines and truth, but even more a living trust in the work and the person of Jesus Christ. Believing in him involves knowledge of the truth, but also involves making that knowledge very personal. Let me put that to you in a few questions this morning. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection? That he was raised from the dead after his agonizing death? Do you believe that? Do you believe that his resurrection is a guarantee that you will be resurrected one day? Do you believe that he is the giver of life? And in the same way that he raised Lazarus, he will raise you as well? Do you believe this? And is this true of us? When Jesus asked Martha that question, she responded with one of the outstanding declarations of faith. You are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world, verse 27. Brothers and sisters, on many occasions we've heard people make professions of faith. But this profession of faith was made under circumstance totally different. Imagine where they were at, grieving and mourning for the loss of their brother. Difficult circumstances. And Jesus asked her, while she's mourning, do you believe in Christ being the Son of God? And if you believe it, how will you respond, Martha? The Lord asked us this morning the same question. Do we believe in the Lord Jesus being the Son of God? And if we believe it, do we practice it in daily life? Does it comfort us in times of sorrow as it comforted Martha? Does it comfort us in a period of in times of death like it did Martha? Does it give us hope for the future like it did Martha? Or do we see death as the final destination? In Romans 10 verse 9 we read that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The third scene this morning is that of Jesus and Mary. And let's read from verse 28 to 37. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here, he's calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" When Mary met Jesus, she repeated the words of Martha, "Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died." Verse 32. Again, there's a touch of anger and rebuke in her words. No doubt, brothers and sisters, the two sisters would have had a conversation about this with one another. If only Jesus had been here. We often do the same thing when something goes wrong, don't we? We say, "Oh, if only I hadn't gone out that time. If only I took another way. If only I didn't drink that much. If only I hadn't got angry. If only, if only, if only." All of these are mere speculations and useless at that. Because what has happened cannot be changed. Playing this over in our minds only adds to our troubles and our difficulties. We may even become depressed and even stop living. Instead, we need to approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of our struggle. We can do that because Jesus was and is human like us, and he can sympathize with us in our weaknesses and trials. Hebrews 4:16. The scene with Mary gives us one of the most touching illustrations of Christ's humanity. The humanity, full humanity of our Lord. In verse 33 we read that when Jesus saw her weeping, and all of those with her weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit. The phrase translates the Greek word that refers to profound emotion that is associated with deep anger. As Jesus thought about the death of his friend and saw the effect of that on all those around him, he felt anger over sin and death, and anger towards the originator of all of this, Satan himself. We also read that he was troubled. The Greek word is used of the surface of the sea being troubled by a storm. Jesus was disturbed by what had happened and what he saw around him. In verse 35 we read, Jesus wept. This is the shortest verse in the Bible, but these two words express the fullness of his humanity. Earlier, Jesus had seen Mary weeping and all of those around her weeping. Verse 33. The word used here referred to a loud wailing or lament. When John wrote that Jesus wept, he used a different Greek word. The only time it appears in the New Testament, it refers to tears, a quiet weeping. Our Lord was human. He was God and he had a divine nature, but also took on human nature. He was like us in every way except sin. He had the same emotions as us, felt the same sadness, shed the same tears. And the Lord is now in heaven, but he is a man in heaven. And he can and does sympathize with us in our weaknesses. He knows what we are going through. He has lived and he has suffered in the same world of sin as what we live in. Brothers and sisters, when we are suffering, are we looking towards him? Do we pray to him? Do we call out to him and ask for his help? He will never leave you nor forsake you, even in your darkest moments. You can be assured of this. You can be assured of this, that he will be present with us through his Holy Spirit. The scene with Mary gives a striking picture of the full humanity of Christ. And the next scene with Lazarus gives us a striking picture of the full divinity of Christ. Let's read verse 38 to 46. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up the eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus came to the tomb once more, deeply moved. This is the same Greek word, the same expression of sorrow and deep emotion, one of anger. Jesus came to the tomb ready to battle with death and with Satan. He approached the tomb as the captain of the Lord's armies, as the Lion of Judah, as the one who would one day conquer all evil. Christ told them to remove the stone in verse 39. And Martha, as a very practical person, objected because of the smell. After all, the body of his brother was dead for 4 days and was already decaying. But this only highlights to us the power of Christ. He could raise the dead even if the body had already begun to decompose. Other people could raise the stone, but only Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" Verse 40. All that Jesus would do is summed up in this phrase, the glory of God. The glory of God embraces his power over death. The glory of God embraces his victory over Satan, his promise of life, and his splendor displayed in raising Lazarus from the dead. After that, Jesus looked up and prayed to his Father in heaven. What he has about to do would be the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He prayed aloud to his Father so that everyone could hear. Many of his earlier miracles had been private. He had not wanted too much attention. He sometimes even asked the people not to go and tell anybody else. Sometimes he slipped away quietly and into the crowds. But this time, Jesus wanted everyone to see this miracle. It was the pinnacle of his public ministry. He went public. It's his last miracle. The time for working in the background has passed. His time has almost come. He wanted everyone there to see and hear what he was about to do, how he could raise people from the dead. This was a solemn and grand moment. When it finished praying, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." In the deadly silence that followed, Mary and Martha and all of those present would have stared into the darkness of the tomb. Lazarus came out, still wrapped in linen. The actual miracle is recorded in two brief verses. The gospel record is short and precise and succinct and to the point. Nothing is said about the emotions of Mary and Martha. Nothing about their overwhelming joy. Nothing about their excitement. The focus of the story is on Jesus and his power, majesty, and glory. John tells us that many of the Jews who saw this believed. They saw the great work of God's own Son and put their faith in him. Others, however, went off to tell the Pharisees what has happened. They saw the great work of God's Son and they hardened their hearts and refused to believe. These are the two reactions of people. These are the only two reactions to Christ's ministry. This story reminds us of the sadness and grief we experience with the death of someone we love. It reminds us that one day all of us will die as well. But the time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. John 5:28. One day Jesus will raise the dead and give eternal life to all who have believed in him. What about you? Have you heard the voice of Jesus? Have you heard the voice of Jesus speaking to you through the scriptures? Do you believe in him? Do you have eternal life? Do you believe that the Lord will raise you up one day from the grave where you would be placed? Brothers and sisters, if you do, what a wonderful comfort you have. The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. Brothers and sisters, the Lord raised Lazarus so that we can have comfort that the Lord will also raise all of us one day. May we all share this wonderful assurance of our faith that although we will die, we will surely live.